Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
African football fans are looking forward to a big weekend of 2018 World Cup qualifying matches. There are 10 fixtures on the schedule. The action will kick off Friday in Tamale, Ghana, located about 600 kilometers north of the capital, Accra. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, reports Ghanaian fans are showing their support ahead of the World Cup qualifier.
Ghana's campaign for the Russia 2018 World Cup was in full swing when the Black Stars commenced training Tuesday to host the Cranes of Uganda. The training attracted the media, and supporters came in their numbers. Supporters from Osu in Accra entertained the crowd with a non-stop drumming, singing, and dancing. This qualifier will be played at Tamale in the northern Ghana on Friday. But coach Avram Grant, who will continue his training at the Tamale venue, made his comments after Tuesday's training.
The last game, friendly game we played in Russia, even without key players, we played very, very well and we could win even the game. So it's very symbolic that Friday we are starting the journey again to be back to Russia. And I told the players that we want to be there. And the game is very difficult. I know the results in the last African qualification against Uganda. Lose away and draw at home. I saw them by the DVD, they qualified to Africa. They're a very, very good side. But you always want to show that we are strong. I don't think it will be an easy game, but our target is the same, to win and to do everything to be in Russia.
After the Tamale game, the Black Star will travel to Egypt for the second group match against the Pharaohs. The other team in the group is the Red Devils of Congo. For the sunny side of sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Kwabena Ofori mentioned Egypt and Congo-Brazzaville as the other teams in Ghana's group, Group E. The Congolese will host the Egyptians Sunday in Brazzaville in another World Cup qualifier. Let's take a look at the other group matchups in Africa's 2018 World Cup qualifying. In Group A, the Democratic Republic of Congo will host Libya in Kinshasa on Saturday. And Tunisia is at home against Guinea in Monastir on Sunday. In Group B, Zambia will host Nigeria in Ndola on Sunday. And Algeria is at home against Cameroon in Blida also on Sunday. For our VOA football fans keeping score, Algeria, Cameroon, and Nigeria all qualified for the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. And so based on that, I'm labeling Group B as the proverbial group of death. In Group C, 2017 Nations Cup host Gabon will host Morocco in Franceville on Saturday. And Ivory Coast is at home against Mali in Bouaké also on Saturday. Ivory Coast, like neighbor Ghana, has qualified for the past three World Cups. Finally, in Group D, Burkina Faso will host South Africa in Ouagadougou on Saturday, and Senegal is at home against the Cape Verde Islands in Dakar also on Saturday. There will be another round of World Cup qualifying matches next month in Africa. and then there will be a break until the end of August 2017. The qualifying matches will continue into early November 2017. At that point, we'll know the five African group winners who will be representing the continent in Russia in 2018. Elsewhere in African football, retired Cameroonian star Rigobert Song has been rushed to France for specialized treatment after suffering a brain hemorrhage. Fans gathered outside the hospital were able to see him off. Reporter Moki Edwin Kinzika tells us more from Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé.
Hundreds of fans sang songs of encouragement to Rigobert Song Bahanak outside the emergency center in Yaoundé after he suffered a cerebral hemorrhage Saturday. As the supporters shout for his life to be saved, the hospital ambulance arrived to transport Song to the airport late Tuesday. Supporter Nyemek Alice says she managed to sneak through the crowd and security to see the former player. She says she is very happy that she saw Song, adding that her hero was smiling at the crowd in spite of his difficult condition. Cameroonians fondly call the 40-year-old retired soccer star Manyang, meaning a fearless and courageous fighter. He is one of the nation's most popular athletes. In the 2006 African Cup of Nations, Song became the most capped player in Cameroon with a total of 103 international appearances. He was the longest-serving captain on the national soccer team. He also holds the record of the youngest player ever to be red-carded in the World Cup when he was just 17 in 1994. Cameroon's health minister, Mama Fuda, was among dozens of senior government functionaries to visit the hospital.
Je voudrais apprécier le travail de professionnalisme qu'il y a au niveau du Curie.
Fuda says he is very happy with the high level of professionalism exhibited by Cameroonian doctors. He says the doctors' quick response reflects their level of devotion to saving lives. He urged Cameroonians to stop spreading false information and trust that authorities are working to ensure Song gets the best treatment available. On Tuesday, fans stormed the hospital emergency center as false reports circulating on social media said Song had received poor medical treatment and died. VOA spoke to Song's mother, Mama Song, who says she met with her son before he left the country.
Je remercie le bon Dieu qui a permis que Rigobert puisse voyager en ce jour-ci.
She says she is grateful to God that her son Rigobert is being evacuated for treatment. She says when she encouraged her son to be strong, he smiled. Fans will now be eagerly awaiting more news of his condition from France. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
The Women's National Basketball Association Finals will tip off Sunday in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's where the defending champion Minnesota Lynx will host the Los Angeles Sparks in the best-of-five game WNBA Finals. Minnesota is a three-time league champion, And the Lynx made it to the finals once again by sweeping the Phoenix Mercury 3-0. And the Sparks, 2-time league champions, advanced Tuesday night with a 95-75 road victory over the Chicago Sky. Los Angeles won the best-of-five series 3-1. Center Candace Parker scored a game-high 29 points for the Sparks in the series-clinching victory, while guard Christy Tolliver added 21 points. Forward Eneka Ogwumike, who won the league's Most Valuable Player Award this season, tallied 17 points and 9 rebounds for Los Angeles.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Now let's go to New York City. That's where the Major League Baseball playoffs continue later Wednesday night with a one-off wild card game. The New York Mets will host the San Francisco Giants. Noah Syndergaard will be the starting pitcher for the Mets, while Madison Bumgarner will be on the mound for the Giants. The winner of tonight's game will play the Chicago Cubs in a best-of-five National League Division playoff series. I mentioned Bumgarner. Well, he has experience on the road in these win-or-go-home wild-card games. 2 years ago, Bumgarner shut out the host Pittsburgh Pirates, giving up only 4 hits. The Giants went on to win their 8th World Series title in 2014. In wild card playoff action Tuesday night, Dominican slugger Edwin Encarnacion belted a 3-run walk-off homer in the 11th inning, and the Toronto Blue Jays beat the visiting Baltimore Orioles 5-2. With the dramatic victory, the Blue Jays now spread their wings and travel to Texas to begin a best-of-five-game playoff series against the Rangers. Lots of excitement in the 2016 Major League Baseball playoffs.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
If you were to talk to us from the deepest bitter part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And at this point, I'd like to welcome our Facebook Live viewers to another Watch on Wednesdays. And I want to say, if you check out my Facebook page today, Wednesday, you'll see a photo of me busting a few moves with my friends at VOA partner station Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM in Lagos, Nigeria. And why don't we take a look at that photo now? I'll have my videographer, Bill Werkinger, come around, and you'll see me. Let's see. I think we are. Okay, there we go. All right, now we got that photo. Now we got that photo up close and personal. There I am with my friends at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM in Lagos. And let me give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for Brilla's founder and chief executive officer, Larry Zamajay. Larry was a wonderful host when I visited Brilla a couple years ago. I did not see Larry's dance moves, however, outside the Brilla station. So, Larry, next time I'm there, I want to see you dance. Dance, my friend. And at this point, let me welcome my friend Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Andrew, welcome back to Studio 22. What's trending in the sports world?
Well, lots to talk about. We'll start with what you were just talking about a little while ago, which is the baseball playoffs. Of course, my beloved New York Mets playing tonight. I hope they can continue. It's the first of many games that they're going to play in the postseason this year. And as our Facebook fans can see, I'm wearing my kind of orange and blue colors, which are the Mets colors here today. But a big game last night, bottom of the 11th inning. Edwin Encarnacion hits that home run. Huge moment. Lots of talk about that on social media. But even before that moment in that great game, that great back and forth, there was a moment, kind of an unfortunate moment that people were talking about on social media, and that came at the end of the 7th inning when Baltimore Orioles outfielder Hyun-Soo Kim was going out to snag a fly ball, just a usual play, and somebody in the stands threw a beer can at him. It looked like it was about full of beer. It splashed all over the place, nearly hit him. So he turned around. He made the catch, turned around, and you know, was wondering what was going on. And Adam Jones, another outfielder for the Orioles, ran out. And he was furious, screaming at the crowd and getting really riled up and angry, afraid that his teammate and friend could get hurt. But you see a lot of reaction to this now on social media the day after. See a lot of Toronto fans saying that we're embarrassed, we apologize for this, this is not how our team should be represented, not how our fans should be represented. Fans across the board, whether they're Orioles fans or Blue Jays fans or fans of neither team, they're saying that this shouldn't be part of baseball, obviously, that it's a very unfortunate incident. And the Toronto police have announced that they're going to investigate this and that they may use social media to kind of find this fan. There's been a lot of social media footage, videos of this incident. So they might be using those to try to isolate who did this, try to find that person, and then maybe press charges against them.
Andrew, getting back to the wild card format in these Major League Baseball playoffs, I know some of the longtime fans of Major League Baseball thought that the wild card games might maybe upset the tradition in the Major League, such a great history in Major League Baseball. But the drama and the excitement with, you know, win or go home, it really... I mean, I think it's added a lot to the league.
Well, and this goes back to what we talked about yesterday with the World Cup, trying to add these 16 teams potentially in 2026 that would do this single elimination first round, and people debating back and forth on whether that was a good thing or a bad thing. I think, you know, once it gets implemented, it might be a good thing. As we see with baseball, I think most fans are excited about this kind of format, the win-or-go-home format. I think certainly you bring in more fans of different teams. You know, the Orioles would have been out if not for last night, and at least they had a chance last night. Even though they lost, they had that chance to play for the wild card. So the same thing with the Mets and the San Francisco Giants tonight. The Mets were leading the wild card, so they would have gone in. The Giants would have been out. At least now the Giants have a chance tonight, but hopefully not a good chance, and the Mets will prevail. But
I know you'll be rooting.
Slight bias there.
I know you'll be rooting for the Mets, Andrew, but great pitching matchup. Syndergaard against Bumgarner.
Two of the top pitchers in the major leagues.
Yeah, it's going to be a good pitching matchup for sure. The Mets have been hot lately. They've been had a great September, so we're going to see if they can continue that momentum into October.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, yesterday, around the time we were on the air, there was a memorial service being held for the late, great Arnold Palmer, who died last week. And so we saw a lot of social media coming out of that memorial service yesterday into today. One picture I saw that I thought was just really a touching moment, three of today's top golfers, Ricky Fowler, Bubba Watson, and Phil Mickelson, brought the Ryder Cup, which the U.S. had just won the Ryder Cup. I think it was on the day that Arnold Palmer passed away. I believe it was the same day that they won that. But they brought that cup to the memorial, kind of, you know, tipping their hat to him and saying, you know what, you set the pace for us. You are our golf hero, so we're going to share in this moment with you. Jack Nicklaus, another great golf hero, had some great comments that are being shared across social media. He said he had to battle Arnie's Army, as they're called, those Arnold Palmer's fans called Arnie's Army. He said, I had to battle them early on, but I never had to battle Arnold Palmer. He was the king of the sport. He was a great friend. And you could see he was getting choked up as he was talking about Arnold Palmer, his great friend, as other players are getting choked up. And then you had Jim Nantz, who's a U.S. sportscaster here in the U.S., had a really funny speech. He said he tried to remember some of the fun moments, and he was talking about a state dinner they went to with Queen Elizabeth. And Queen Elizabeth asked Arnold Palmer how many players or how many people he had played with. And Arnold Palmer said, hey, about 500,000. And Jim Nantz said, you know what? If you played with three different people every day for a year, it's about 1,000 people a year, you'd have to live to be 500. And Arnold Palmer said, well, I guess I'll just have to live to be 500. So he had the audience laughing, as you know, remembering the good moments. And he had a nice analogy, too. He said Arnold Palmer won his last tournament when he's 43 and a half years old. And then 43 and a half years after he won that last tournament was when he passed away. So it's kind of the front nine and the back nine in golf terms. So the first nine holes of his life and the last nine holes. So he had a nice golf analogy there. So a lot of touching moments. And coming out of this memorial service, we have a social media campaign. People are lobbying Tim Fincham, who's the outgoing PGA Tour commissioner, to change the PGA logo. There's a silhouette of a man who's swinging a golf club, and they want to change that silhouette to be Arnold Palmer's silhouette. So there's that social media campaign. We'll see if that develops and if that logo gets changed to honor Arnold Palmer.
Andrew, let me give a shout out to one of my Facebook friends, Shaka Suleiman X-Man, and he likes the show so much, Andrew, and our VOA listeners. Maybe I can have my videographer come around again, Bill Werkinger. He actually has my profile shot as his profile picture, Andrew. I'm not quite sure why he does that, but I guess he loves the show so much.
I was going to say he looks remarkably. You may have a twin that you didn't know about out there. You may have a secret twin somewhere.
That is SS X-Man, and he lives in Ouchi. I hope I pronounced that right. Ouchi, Edo State, Nigeria, and he's a big fan of the Sunny Side of Sports. And in commenting on my dance at Brilla, he said, wonderful dance. And thank you for your support, SS X-Man. Andrew, what else is trending?
People, if people see that, don't think that Sonny changed his name and moved to Nigeria. Sonny's still here in the U.S., don't worry. I can vouch for that. But so we talked about yesterday Maria Sharapova, her appeal to the Court of Arbitration of Sport being ruled in favor of. So now she's going to come back to tennis earlier than she expected. And she took to social media, to her Facebook page, to share the news with her fans, saying, in so many ways, I feel like something I love was taken away from me, and it will feel really good to have it back. So she's trying to get her fans amped up, saying that, you know, she's glad that she's going to be taking back to the court. She says she's taken responsibility for not knowing that the supplement that she was taking was on the banned list. But she just expresses this excitement for getting back on the court, and thanks to her fans for following along with her, sticking with her, dealing with, as she says, so many of these tough months together. So that, trying to get the fans hyped up, and we'll see if she makes a triumphant return to the French Open.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the October 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my videographer and producer, Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in, and thank you for viewing in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
From time to time, the United States identifies certain individuals as crucial to the operation of terrorist organizations. Most often, these are top leaders, or they help finance terrorist organizations. In all cases, these are people who have committed or are deemed to pose a significant risk of committing acts of terrorism. When such an individual is identified, the U.S. government places that person's name on the specially designated terrorist list. His assets within U.S. reach are immediately frozen, and he is locked out of the global financial network. No U.S. citizen or company may conduct business with a designated individual. In this way, the United States disrupts financial support networks for terrorists and terrorist organizations. Until late last year, Abdelkader Moumin was a recruiter and spokesman for Al-Shabaab, itself a designated terrorist organization that operates mostly in Somalia. In October of last year, Moumin defected from Al-Shabaab and set up an ISIL affiliate in Somalia's Puntland semi-autonomous region. About 20 other members of Al-Shabaab followed him. The group is known to kidnap boys between the ages of 10 and 15, indoctrinate them, and force them to participate in fighting. On August 31st, the U.S. Department of State added Abdelkader Moumin to the designated global terrorist list under Executive Order 13224. By doing so, the United States serves notice to the U.S. public and the international community that Abdelkader Moumin is actively engaged in terrorism. Designations of terrorist individuals and groups expose and isolate organizations and individuals and effectively lock them out of the global financial system. Global terrorist designations can also assist or complement the law enforcement actions of other U.S. agencies and other governments. By designating Abdelkader Moumin a global terrorist, the United States hopes to disrupt his own deadly agenda and to nullify ISIL's intentions of gaining a foothold in East Africa.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, former South Sudan First Vice President Riek Machar has called for an armed struggle against the government of President Salva Kiir, a move that could mark a renewal of the country's civil war. We'll discuss the new developments in South Sudan next on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. True face. NATO C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.